This is a CBC podcast. Your community, your environment, your business. They all connect to make up the world we live in. Now, IBM wants to give you the tools to help build a smarter planet. Join the conversation for change. Learn more by visiting cbc.ca/smartshift.
Hello, I'm Michael Enright. Welcome to this week's Rewind podcast. Rewind brings you the best from more than 70 years of CBC radio history. Today, the story of the Skidoo. His name was Joseph Armand Bombardier, and he was a shy and determined mechanic who dreamed of building a vehicle that could, quote, float on snow. In 1937, the first snowmobile rolled off his small repair shop in Valcourt, Quebec. The Ski-Doo became an instant hit, but not for the reasons imagined by Monsieur Bombardier. He originally called it a ski-dog, because he intended it as a practical vehicle which could replace the dog sled for hunters and trappers. A typographical error in a Bombardier brochure changed the name Ski-Dog to Ski-Doo. Armand liked the sound of the erroneous name, and he kept it. Our first clip is from 1947 and a CBC radio news report from Regina that demonstrated the usefulness of the new snow machines.
Southern Saskatchewan has been snowbound in an almost continuous blizzard all this week. And unless there's a let-up soon, so the transportation can start rolling again, there'll be fuel and food shortages in many rural communities. Just outside Regina, the radio transmitter engineers of station CKCK had to be rescued by snowmobile. Here's Bob Weir of the CKCK staff to tell you about the rescue and the storm.
Since Sunday, Regina and southern Saskatchewan have been in the grip of a howling blizzard. In rural Saskatchewan, radio has become the only means of keeping up with the news. Some districts have not seen a newspaper for 10 days or more. And on Wednesday, fast action was needed to keep Regina's two radio stations operating. A phone call from CKCK's transmitter engineer said that food stocks were almost depleted. He had been there since Saturday noon. Something had to be done to relieve him. Major H. Wickware, commanding officer of Headquarters No. 2 Squadron of the 6th Divisional Signals Reserve, offered to help, and the Saskatchewan commander loaned an Army snowmobile to make a trip to both of Regina's radio transmitters with food and relief engineers. We set out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the sturdy caterpillar treads of the snowmobile churned their way over 10 and 12-foot drifts on the highway, twisting and turning, bouncing like a small boat caught in a storm at sea. Inside was enough food to keep the relief engineers supplied for 2 weeks. The Army captain behind the wheel plowed on, first on the highway, then out onto the fields when the drifts became too steep. In 3 hours, the job was finished, and the relieved engineers were stumbling happily up to CKCK studios to warm up. Tonight, the wind is still howling in Regina. Mayor McGilvery has set up an emergency coal order office in the city hall, and railway officials are doing everything possible to get coal to Regina. But unless transportation opens up, supplies may be exhausted by Monday. Coal and food stocks in rural Saskatchewan are getting low too, and the government air ambulance service is standing by to fly food to isolated towns. With the forecast for clear and colder, we're looking for a break in the weather. But it still looks like a cold, hard winter for southern Saskatchewan. This is Bob Weir reporting from Regina.
From February 1947, a CBC radio news report about a wicked snowstorm in Regina that winter. But it didn't really take long for the public to discover that snowmobiles could be used for more than just winter rescue. They could be a lot of fun, too, and a new winter sport was born. This report is from March 1962 and the program Assignment.
Ski-doing is a fast-growing sport to which more and more Quebec outdoor enthusiasts are becoming addicted each month.
Ski-doos are appearing on the highways and ski hills in the Laurentian resorts. In fact, most hotels in Quebec now rent ski-doos for guests eager for this new sport.
Lloyd Converse in Sanagath for the Laurentian Snow Festival got some information about the Ski-Doo race on the festival program from Mr. Paul Dupre.
Let's have a look at your Ski-Doo here, Mr. Dupre, first of all. Describe it. It's, I guess, well, I suppose we could call it a motorized version of a bobsled.
Yes, it's all made of metal.
And the front looks just like one of these professional bobsleds we see racing in Europe and in, well, Lake Placid.
Yeah,
south
it's
of
similar,
here.
You know, with two skis in the front, you know.
Two large skis, and behind that is a seat would hold, what, two people?
Well, two to three people.
Two to three
yeah,
people.
Yeah, you can't see three people then.
And it looks fairly comfortable, an upholstered seat there, and then up under the hood is a motor.
There's a motor, yeah.
Gasoline motor.
Right.
And then this is connected to, what's this here? This is a belt, is it?
That's a rubber belt.
And that propels the machine forward.
Right.
Right. How long is the machine itself there?
Well, this one is about 10 feet long.
10 feet long.
Yep.
This is your own that we're looking at now, is
right.
it?
Right. Because there's some models which are a little shorter, and there's another model now a little longer.
Well, with these machines, particularly with this belt on the back, it looks like a pretty versatile one. Can you go just about anywhere in the winter with it? Or?
Well, almost anywhere, you know. You can go on trails, a cross-country, mountains, as long as you have a trail, you know. And no matter if it's a light snow or hard snow, on hard snow, well, it's faster, but on the new snow, it will just go the same, you know, it will pass anywhere.
Well, I noticed when you took us out a few minutes ago for a ride around, I guess you have to dress pretty warmly, eh?
Oh, yes, because it's not, it's very cold, you know, especially in the front. You have a windshield, but it doesn't matter, you know, it's very cold, especially when you go 25, 30 miles an hour, and when it's windy, well, today it's nice because there's a nice sun, but...
But it's still pretty cold. It must
yeah,
be, what, 10, 15 below here today?
About that.
How much do these machines weigh? How heavy are they?
This one is 350 pounds.
And what power is the motor?
This one is 7 horsepower.
7 horsepower.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose these people here that are operating Ski-Doos are perhaps people of the same spirit as sports car enthusiasts.
Well, I think so, you know, because we get a good thrill out of the Ski-Doo, you know. And, well, like sports cars, very amusing, and you want to get speed, and but it costs, let's say, maybe $3,000 to get a good machine there, a good racing car. While in Ski-Doo, well, for $800, well, you have a good machine and have very much thrill.
I guess this is why we suddenly noticed so many Ski-Doos around the province, particularly up here in the Laurentians.
Yeah, this year, it's a good year, and it's getting very popular. You know?
How many people would you figure are Ski-Doo enthusiasts now in the province?
Well, it must be around 3,000 to 4,000 Ski-Doos.
That many
now.
Already?
Yeah.
How long, then, has Ski-Dooing been a sport of this nature?
3 years now.
Just really 3 years?
Yeah, just 3 years.
Well, up till now, Ski-Doos have been pretty well an open thing. You could just buy one and operate it, but I see that the government has begun to recognize the growing number of Ski-Doos around.
Right, and they're putting a license on it, I think, which costs around $4, you know, and you need an operator license, too.
So it's just, well, I suppose this is a good thing. In other words, they're treating it as a regular motor vehicle.
Yeah, it's a good thing because there were children playing with them, you know, so it might result in all kind of accidents.
What got you personally started as a Ski-Doo enthusiast?
Well, first, I like all kind of sports, you know, especially winter sports. Well, you get good fresh air and exercise. And I think with a Ski-Doo, you can get the same thrill as you have, though, might be compared with the skiing, you know.
This is the first time a race has been held sort of as part of an organized winter carnival, isn't it?
Yes, I think it's the first time. They had some races before, you know, but not part of a winter carnival, you know. And I think it's a very good success.
From March 1962, the program Assignment. Our next piece is some of a documentary that first aired in 1967 on the program Between Ourselves. It traces the history of the snowmobile and Joseph Armand Bombardier's dream of changing the face of winter.
But now, let's travel 40 miles west. The place, Valcour. The population, 1,000. 200 years ago, people were clearing the land, fighting the rocky soil to establish farms that were never to flourish. 100 years ago, they were doing the same thing. 50 years ago, the only change was a decline in the population. But 30 years ago, one of the locals enlarges his small garage repair shop and takes on a few men to help him build something he's been tinkering with for years. His total labor force is 13, counting himself and his brothers. His name is Joseph Armand Bombardier, and at that time he's in his middle 20s. He is a quiet man, but as everyone knows, crazy. He has this wild idea that he can drive over snow, even where there are no roads. That was 30 years ago. What is the situation in Valcour today?
What you see here now is the rebuilding of our sub-assembly lines. See, a lot of parts have to be assembled before they can be shipped to the main assembly line. This is all done in this section. And as you can see, it is highly automated. Nothing is carried on the ground. Everything is done in the air. You see these baskets. When your production line is in production, everything is carried through these conveyor lines. Nothing is on the floor. And this is the retooling now and rebuilding of our sub-assembly lines, which is about three times as big as what we had last year.
I'm sure the first year when people saw the skidoos out in the woods, they said, "Say, can I get one of those?" And our tractor distributors said, "Sure, I'll get Bombardier to make you one of those." And it was almost a handmade operation. And then the sales grew. The next year we sold 1,250 units. In 61, 62, it went to 5,000 units. Then 8,700, 13,000, 22,000. And this past winter, 45,000 skidoos went out of our plant here in Valcour.
Along with a year's production of snowmobiles, muskeg tractors, the Bombardier J5, designed for off-the-road pulp and paper operation, pulling a 6,000-pound payload, and not forgetting the nimble Bombardier SW, familiar in Montreal and other snow-blanketed cities as the machine in the hands of frustrated racing drivers who cowboy all over the sidewalks, pushing aside the snow. Before any of these machines could leave the plant, they first had to leave Joseph Armand Bombardier's head, for he's the man who invented them all, and as a result, where there were 13 men in a garage, there are now 1,600 in a plant. Mr. Parere, a Bombardier executive, tells us something about Mr. Bombardier.
Well, Mr. Bombardier was a man who was rather shy, but quite determined. He knew exactly what he wanted and where he was going and wanted to go. Perhaps the greatest quality of the man was the fact that he just couldn't rest. That is, he kept on working at all times. It's common knowledge that even if he did take off for some kind of a business trip mixed up with a bit of pleasure, he would soon get homesick or feel that he should return to the shop and get back to his machines.
I'm Michael Enright, and you're listening to Rewind, the archives program here on CBC Radio 1 and Sirius Radio 137. Today, an hour about the Skidoo. What you're listening to is the program Between Ourselves in April 1967 with a look at the birth of the snowmobile.
Actually, I think that this man was working nearly around the clock.
Jean-Louis Fontaine is an engineer, a director of Bombardier, and married to one of Mr. Bombardier's daughters. Very much a working director, we spoke to him in his elevated glass-walled office, from which he views the complex production line. He speaks of his father-in-law and his objectives.
He had many ideas, and for many years he wanted to have a vehicle, a light vehicle, who would go on snow, and I think he succeeded in building the Ski-Doo. He began with the big snowmobile, but looking at the doctors that would have to see his patient with a 15 passenger, and he was along in the big vehicle, well, he thought he could build a very small vehicle that would carry only one or two person at the time and would float on the snow, and so you would go anywhere and at any time, you see.
It's hard to remember that this man was a garage mechanic.
Well, of course, he was a garage mechanic with a difference. His father was a man who wanted his son to get as much education as possible. He sent him to the seminary in Sherbrooke, and following that, he came back here and began his life as a mechanic. But he wasn't stopped there. He carried on at night school, other courses. And he had tremendous determination. This man is truly a Canadian genius, a true Canadian, a father of Canadian industry, because unlike so many other mechanically inclined people, he had the vision and the determination to carry on from 1926, when he first started making his snow vehicles, to 1936 when he sold one. And that's 10 years of work without selling a product. From 1936 through to the war, he still was working with large tractors. He hadn't achieved his dream of a small motorized vehicle. And it wasn't until the 1950s that he began to solve the problems that were necessary to satisfy the dream that he'd had in 1926 of a small personalized vehicle to go over the snow. And that is not just a mechanic. That is a man with determination. That is a man who has the genius to perceive an idea and pursue it for years and years.
The first Ski-Doo was made in 1959. Well, that is the first Ski-Doo that was marketed. There had been several attempts before that. I believe that Mr. Bombardier must have spent some 8 years of trials before the first Ski-Doo was put on the market, because it seemed to me that this man wanted to leave something to people to play with in the wintertime. He had had a lot of experience, had done a lot for transportation off-roads with the larger vehicles, but somehow it seemed that he had this in the back of his mind, a small vehicle, something that everyone could enjoy, or purchase and enjoy during the winter days.
Mr. Pereire endows Bombardier with an appreciation of fun and pleasure as the motive for his long search for the small, light, motorized vehicle to travel over snow. Perhaps this was so. Yet the impression Bombardier has left is that of a serious man who would not take to pleasure too lightly. Mr. Fontaine gives another explanation for Bombardier's lifelong commitment.
The reason for this, I think, is because he lost one of his son. I think his son has an appendix, and he couldn't get out of Valcourt because of a snowstorm. And this is also, I think, one reason why he want to fight snow, and he want to build a vehicle that would float on snow, and so he'll never get stuck in snow again.
Bombardier fought the snow. He waged this fight for a lifetime.
Mr. Bombardier first developed a passenger snowmobile. That was right at the very beginning of his activities. And his idea grew up to this size where just before the last war, the company was already exporting passenger snowmobiles. Of course, the snowmobile didn't start off overnight. In his mind, no more than it did in the shop, the first attempts were made with automobile frames, incorporating some kind of tracks that were held with extra idler wheels. And later, there were skis. And also, I should mention, too, that some of his earlier experiments were made with, or through a formula, something which is quite similar to a swamp buggy, that is, a vehicle propelled by a propeller.
We asked Mr. Laurent Baudouin, one of Mr. Bombardier's sons-in-law, and the 29-year-old president of Bombardier Limited, what the firm's gross sales would have been at that time and what they are now.
His gross turnover, he might be around, I don't know, not more than $50,000 of sales in a year, about 10 snowmobile. Presently, it's we are well over 30 million sales in a year.
50,000 to 30 millions a year in 30 years. Not bad for a small town boy. If you speak to any of the company's executives about this astonishing growth, one word keeps cropping up, the word skidoo. John Hetherington, marketing manager, talks about it.
All right, the early skidoo history began with its introduction in 1959. Mr. Bombardier conceived the skidoo as the ski dog, and it was called Ski Dog, D-O-G, as it when it began. And this was because it was to replace the dog team and the for the hunter and the trapper. It was conceived as a practical vehicle, not as a fun thing. It was not had nothing to do with fun and sport as we see it today, as the sport has grown. As early as 49, he began working on the thing, but he didn't have it perfected. It took him 10 years. To go on the snow, you have to have a light vehicle. So it was lightweight, and the track were the two problems. And Armand's son, Germain, developed the track and patented this rubberized track with steel inserts. Now, the lore of the company has it that several rubber companies were approached to make this track. And they said, no, it's impossible. Use what we've got, or we'll do it this way. And so Germain and his son, and his father, rather, said, no, we'll make it ourselves. There have been a lot of factors that enter into the growth. Really, until the winter of 63-64, we were selling in the province of Quebec. It was a local Quebec industry. A few exports into the northern United States, the northern New England states, into northern Ontario, into New Brunswick. But basically, it was in the province here. And we had found, the people using skidoos had found that it was a fun sport. There was no question about it. So that was the year of the takeoff. That was the year that Bombardier decided to take off and cover the country.
And so Bombardier took off on a skidoo. How did they do it? And how did it happen so quickly?
Well, I think that one of the major reasons was due to the fact that younger generation who had at that time taken over Bombardier after the untimely death of Mr. Bombardier himself, they decided to do some advertising. And advertising started in that winter. This, to me, was one of the number one, because it created a demand. Then the next step, in my estimation, was the fact that we had complete distribution. We expanded our distribution from Alaska to Maine and from British Columbia to Newfoundland, giving it a complete coverage so that all the snowbelt states and all the Canadian provinces were fully covered, and this took place without any delay. It took off right away on a complete distribution system.
The key words here seem to be without delay. Decisions were made quickly and carried out efficiently by a team of vigorous and imaginative young men who took over and off when Mr. Bombardier died. The problems inherent in the change of management and the yearly doubling of sales, with its concurrent doubling of production, are formidable indeed.
From April 1967 and the program Between Ourselves, a look at the history of the Ski-Doo and the company that produced it, Bombardier. In February 1964, J. Armand Bombardier died of cancer at the age of 56. He left behind a thriving business, but also one that had been focused around one person. Armand dominated his company, overseeing all areas of operation. He controlled the small research department, making all the drawings himself. And now the younger generation, Armand's sons and sons-in-law, had to take over. The young team reorganized and decentralized the company, adopting modern business tactics. They used the latest technological innovation, the computer, to handle inventory, accounts, and billings. Here once again is the program Between Ourselves.
How have Bombardier managed to keep ahead of the competition and, more difficult, keep ahead of themselves?
But it's quite true that any company that grows as quickly as we have has had growing pains. And I think it's a tribute to the people in the company that nobody has really floundered and that we haven't gone under on this tremendous growth. Our growth in 6 years, each year, with doubling our production every year, our biggest problem is that to double from 1,000 to 2,000 units is not that difficult. You can add a little more equipment, a little more machines, and so on. And many of our competitors nowadays have been going that route, have been going from 500 to 1,000 to 2,000. But when you double from 22,000 units to 45,000 units, this requires planning. And this is the biggest problem that Bombardier has had, is to find the time to plan. The minute our production stopped this year, in January, we began to tear apart the plant again and rebuild for next year's production.
Part of it is my responsibility for the machine shop, the planning, and the assembly line. All the planification is part of what I have to do. I'm a young engineer, and it's hard for me because I'm gaining the experience.
The change is we had a different orientation because we are not inventor ourselves.
Mr. Baudouin explains what has to be done when a team takes over from an individual.
And instead of working the same way as he worked in the past, we had to change the orientation of our company. He was the man, and he was the company. And we had to reorganize the staff because we had nobody here who could take his place in every department. And we changed the orientation of the company. We tried to decentralize as much as possible, in the same time still keeping control, but give more responsibility to every people in each department, make their decision themselves. And we changed this way instead, like in the past, we had maybe four men in the research department, which especially Mr. Bombardier was the man with three assistants. Presently, we have 40 men there. But it's a different way of working. He was making all the drawings to the execution of his vehicle. We have different people who are doing their job in their specific field. The result, this permit us to grow faster. At the beginning, Mr. Bombardier didn't expect the growth of this vehicle, of the Ski-Doo especially, to grow as fast as it went. And it is impossible presently to work the same way as in the past. But if it was not to the vehicle E and then, we would not be here today. Mm. But we had to change the orientation of the company if we want to go ahead and make it faster and quicker. We had to change our orientation.
I think the greatest change that has happened is that the
his sons and sons-in-law have become very active in the company and have taken on the responsibility that he left them with, and that was to take his inventions and create an industry with the Skidoo and to carry on the development work in his for the tractor line. These young people, with an average age of 34 on our board of directors, have risen to the challenge and have added new staff, mostly young people, who have pitched in and carried on the great things that Mr. Bombardier invented. Without Mr. Bombardier's genius, there would be no Bombardier today. And I think it can be safely said that the young people who have carried on this with these inventions and carried on have exploited or developed far beyond Mr. Bombardier's dreams the success of his products and his inventions.
All this was taking place inside Bombardier Limited. But the rubber hits the road, or the snow in this case, not in the boardrooms or factories, and not even on an inventor's drawing board, but out in the wide open places where the public dollar is on the loose. We've got the water, and we've got the horse. But will he drink?
Depuis 5 ou 6 années, dans les campagnes et les cités, tout le monde il fait rêver le ski de Bombardier. Au lac Placide l'hiver dernier, toutes les courses il a gagné. Et rapide comme l'éclair, parfois il touche pas la terre. Le ski de Bombardier.
Le ski doux, c'est ce qui donne de la vie. Un ski doux, c'est ce qui donne de la joie.
Et les vallées, sur les lacs et dans les prés, il est si vite et si léger, faut être deux pour le voir passer, le ski de Bombardier. De l'aube jusqu'au crépuscule, prenons l'air à plein poumon, adieu docteur, adieu pilule, à quelle sensation.
Le ski doux, c'est ce qui donne de la vie.
Moderne, il fait bon de posséder cet engin qui amène chez toi la santé, le ski de Bombardier. Son prix est très abordable si tu calcules la joie, le bonheur insatiable pour les tiens et pour toi.
Le ski doux, c'est ce qui donne de la vie. Un ski doux, c'est ce qui donne de la joie.
This sport, the fun sport, in Quebec was created by the users of skidoos. It took 3 or 4 years, and people just found how to have fun on skidoos. What we've been doing now is trying to create this sport quickly in other parts of the country. This winter, for example, in the western United States in the mountains, we were out there in early January with some of our dealers and some of his customers. And out there they have the finest skidooing country in all the world, because there are no fences to run into, and it's all above the tree line, or a lot above the tree line, and the trees are all open. And they were amazed when we showed them what you can do with a skidoo. We started out in the morning and we looked and we said, oh, look, there's a beautiful mountain. It was about 8 to 10,000 feet high, snow-capped, nice and round snowfields. And we went off and we went up the mountain. We said, look, let's just go up there. So we went. We took the skidoos up through the valleys and through the trees, weaving through the trees, up into the open meadows, climbing back and forth until we got to the very top of this mountain. We looked over the beautiful Colorado scenery, and the people out there were amazed, and they said, this is fantastic.
Yeah, the horse seems to be taking a good long draft. Bring him another bucket.
And we said, well, this is to us. This is skidooing. This is the adventure, the getting out and seeing the new kinds of the country that you've never seen before. And the particular gentleman out west was so enthused with this process that he put 22 skidoos on a big trailer tractor van and went from town to town in Colorado giving free demonstrations every single day, each day in a new town. And it's just like the original traveling salesman or the missionary. And he would go into town and he'd take the banker and the local politician and the mayor and the people, and he'd put them on a skidoo and he'd take them to the top of the nearest mountain and show them what this new sport was like. And the only thing they didn't have, and I don't think he needed, was a barker, an old-fashioned barker. But this medicine man approach has proved effective, because you've got to demonstrate, either in films or in person, the pleasures that you can have with the skidooing.
We extend now right up to our landing strip, because we do have a landing strip there which now has become useless due to the expansion. So we will be building another airstrip. So our plane is not a toy, I can assure you. It is a working horse. And in this day and age of fast traveling and fast moving, if you want to stay ahead of competition, you have to move fast.
We have in Valcour here one of the few private telephone companies left in the country. So that one of our problems is the telephone situation, trying to reach run a worldwide corporation from a small community-owned telephone system. And right behind this telephone system, to show the juxtaposition and the tremendous growth we've had at Bombardier, is an IBM 1401 computer with a computer staff who program our parts, our sales analysis, our inventory control, our accounts receivable and billing. This 1401 computer will be replaced in July by a Cobalt 360 with a tape arrangement which will provide us with more than twice the capacity that we have.
Last year at our distributor meeting, our president, when speaking to the distributors, set up a goal and told them, if this goal is reached, next year we will have our meeting in Austria. We had asked our distributors to do the job. They did the job, so now we're taking them up there. We will have joining us there our European distributors, because we do sell in Europe. We have distributors in mostly every country in Europe, France, Sweden, Germany, Austria, Holland.
The whole thing starts, of course, with the idea in a man's head. That is, the belief in Mr. Bombardier's mind that industry and every steps of life, I'm talking back, of course, several years ago when Mr. Bombardier was perhaps no more than 20 or 22 and was starting in life as just an ordinary garageman, a mechanic. This man had this idea that it was possible to travel over snow. It was possible to get out of one's town or one's village and to travel from one place to another, even if the roads were covered with a lot of snow. And he believed in this idea so much that, he put in a lifetime behind it. Now, I certainly am sure that this idea and his belief in his efforts were instilled in the people that came in contact with him in the company. And to answer your question as to what made the success of our company, I would say that, number one, an original idea, which framed very well with the necessity, and number two, of course, a group of men that were not afraid to work long hours.
The CBC radio program Between Ourselves in April 1967. Today, all about the birth of the snowmobile and its parent company, Bombardier. Snowmobiling was one of the fastest-growing sports in the 1960s. Although there were some American companies that started manufacturing snowmobiles, Bombardier dominated. In the early 1970s, there was a snowmobile backlash. Snowmobiles and their owners were blamed for causing noise pollution and environmental damage, and Bombardier was on the defensive over a mounting death toll from snowmobile accidents. Listen to this raucous debate over the safety of the snowmobile on Cross Country Checkup in January 1972. Bombardier spokesperson John Hetherington joined host Pierre Pascoe.
Cross Country Checkup, where are you calling from, please?
From Montreal.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
I would like to look a little bit further into, if I may, some of the numbers that Mr. Hetherington has been using. Numbers are, to a first approximation, my trade. And I get the feeling that Mr. Hetherington is, by connotation, inflating small numbers to make them appear large, and by connotation, deflating large ones to make them appear small a little bit.
Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, first of all, as I recall...
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. The count now is 6 deaths for the weekend. We started this program less than 2 hours ago. Only 4 deaths in Canada caused by snowmobiles. That was at 10 past 5. Well, and now it is 7:10 Montreal time, and we have 6 deaths for the weekend.
I'm terribly sorry to hear that.
Now, 2 more people have died since we've been talking
of snowmobiles. There's been 2 more deaths reported since we, not in the last 2 hours. Let's not suggest that there's a death an hour all weekend.
May I recall a figure that I hope I can quote correctly? You said, as I recall, that approximately 65% of the reported deaths due to snowmobile accidents involved people over the age of 25?
Yes, I know. I'm quoting here from the snowmobile accidents in Canada, fatal accidents and fatalities last winter, prepared by the Canadian Safety Council.
Okay, let me invert that, if I may.
Yeah.
I presume that what that means is that 35% of those killed were under the age of 25, and I'd like to suggest that this is not such a negligible number.
All right, now hang on.
One wishes to consult, for example, with undertakers, with actuaries, insurance companies, medical people. I think it's hardly likely that the general cause of death statistics would report 1 in 3 or more of all people dying under the age of 25, and that's what you're telling me is the case with snowmobiles.
Well, no, let's get to the real specifics here. 7.6 were under the age of 16.
That leaves then approximately 28% who were between the ages of 16 and 25.
You're very fast with figures.
Terribly disproportionate.
Compared to automobile deaths or compared to
with anything. You know, walk the streets and count them in the funeral parlors, and I don't mean to sound maudlin. 28% of deaths between the ages of 16 and 25 is terribly disproportionate. Terribly disproportionate.
To the general death rate, certainly.
We've got to compare ourselves with, isn't it, sir?
May
I get to this issue of sound again?
Yes, sir. Let's
the decibel scale is a cutesy scale. It's logarithmic or linearly logarithmic, and it's very deceptive.
That's right.
The gentleman suggested that you might be able to reduce snowmobiles in noise, ambient noise, to about 73 decibels. You talked in terms of 78 and said that's very close. Let me point out just how unclose that is. What that means essentially is that if the man with a snowmobile producing 73 decibels had 3 of them, approximately, running at the same time and place as your one...
Do they add up?
His would be noisier. So you're talking about a reduction in noise energy of less of, you know, by a factor of 3, and saying it's trivial. This is nonsense.
All right, now I agree with you that there is that the snowmobile noise, the noise levels are measured on the logarithmic scale, and I'd like to point out to you that snowmobiles this year and in the past have operated at 86 decibels. Average this year, and it used to be 90 about 2 years ago, so a drop from 86 decibels to 74 by the same token is therefore a tremendous drop. And
where did the 74 come from? It was 78.
Or 78, rather, 278. From 86 to 78 is a tremendous drop, and of course a drop from 78 again to 74 is, on the logarithmic scale, another tremendous leap forward, which the state of the art of the snowmobile manufacturer can't achieve next year, but it's suggested by several callers that the laws will even the Nader people are recommending this kind of level for the future, say 1975.
Okay, fine, but what I'm concerned about, sir, is the way in which you in the previous instance reported that kind of drop as sounding relatively trivial. It's not trivial at all.
No. And you know, another thing, sir, which really as a layman I just can't swallow, is when Mr. Hetherington says that a snowmobile in 1 year's time won't make more noise than a shower. At ear level.
Noise level at ear level.
May I go a step further? You reported a revenue just on the basis of taxes reaped from the sale of gasoline of about $3 million in Canada.
No, I didn't report that at all. No. What I suggested was approximately 600,000 snowmobiles by approximately $5 per snowmobile per year. That's right, which makes, according to my calculations, $3
million. Okay, now let me look at that number. That sounds astronomical again. Divide it by 10 provinces, recognizing that the take's not equal in all of them, but on the average, that's $300,000 a province. What's the province going to do with $300,000 to make for snowmobile? That amount is trite. It's trivial.
All right. Well, you asked what they should spend it on. Let's say they should spend it on.
I didn't ask what they should spend it on. What I'm saying is you're playing games with the numbers. You're reporting a revenue reaped from the snowmobile of $3 million, which sounds horrendous. Everybody says, whoopee, how great. And I'm
Where are you? You're calling from which province?
$300,000 a province on the average is a pittance in revenue.
All right, so that in the province of Quebec with roughly 300,000 snowmobiles, you're the mathematician, sir, that's $1.5 million, right?
Okay, let's go to the province of Alberta. Let's go to the province of Saskatchewan. Fine. Let's go to the province of Nova Scotia. Let's go to the province of New Brunswick. Averages have a way of balancing, Mr. Hetherington.
Mm-hmm, they certainly do.
They're going to reap less than $100,000
and
out
there
of
are,
this thing,
there are
that's a
there are fewer snowmobilers in those provinces to provide trails. Therefore,
I don't care if there are four snowmobilers in Nova Scotia, what can you buy them with $75,000 or $100,000 in the way of trails?
Well, you quite a bit, sir.
Very little for $75,000 in the way of trails for snowmobiling.
The province of
there's another point.
Now, just a minute.
May I make a point? No, Mr. Hetherington, sir. We have just about 2 minutes left, or 3 minutes, and we'll have to stop. So. Sir, the caller, we give you about 30 seconds to wrap up, and then we'll let Mr. Hetherington do his bit.
Okay,
all right?
I think that the point that I'd like to make here is that Mr. Hetherington is a super salesman. I hope that the listeners will display a very severe critical evaluation of his comments with that in mind, not to imply that he's a super salesman for a company, but for a cause. And super salesmen have a way of, by connotation, implying that which can't substantiate itself when subject to analysis.
Thank you very much, sir. We have to leave you now. Thank you for calling us, and goodbye.
From January 1972, Cross Country Checkup with host Pierre Pascoe and guest John Hetherington of Bombardier. In 1970, the recreational snowmobile accounted for 90% of Bombardier's revenues, but clouds were beginning to gather. The snowmobile frenzy of the 1960s waned as North America was hit by an energy crisis and subsequent economic downturn. In the first 4 years of the 1970s, Bombardier sales plummeted from 226,000 to 60,000 snowmobiles. Company President Laurent Baudouin, who rode the Ski-Doo to success, realized that Bombardier must diversify. As luck would have it, the city of Montreal asked companies to bid on the construction of 400 subway cars to help prepare for the upcoming Montreal Olympics. Bombardier won the contract and entered the mass transportation market. From there, Bombardier's reliance on the snowmobile changed. The Ski-Doo played a minor role in Bombardier's phenomenal business success in the 1980s and 1990s. The company produced subway cars, rail passenger cars, and airplanes instead. In 2003, with a spiraling debt, Bombardier decided to sell its recreational products division, including the popular Ski-Doo line. The decision sent shockwaves throughout the industry. The Bombardier family ended up buying the recreational division and continue to operate it as BRP. Now, just before we go, one more bit. It's about a place that Joseph Armand Bombardier probably never imagined his snow machine would go, over open water. It's called snowmobile skipping, the art of running snowmobiles over water. Have a listen to this report from August 2001.
It used to be that when the snow melted, the snowmobiles went back to their sheds. But not anymore. Diehard enthusiasts have come up with a way to race their machines in the summer. They call it water skipping. Amanda Pfeffer explains.
What does it take to keep one of these above water? A lot of speed, plenty of skill, and plain old-fashioned guts. Still, sometimes, you just can't fight gravity.
Oh, mon Dieu, c'est un défi. C'est incroyable feeling.
It's crazy. The speed, the race, it's an incredible feeling, says team captain Robert Gingras. These are the North American championships. Most of the Canadian competitors are from Quebec, and they admit there are risks. Yesterday on the jumps, there were some bad maneuvers, he says. We were lucky no one was injured. As for rules, there are plenty during competition, but none when you practice.
When we practice, none. Nothing. Anything goes.
There's no doubt about it, this is a dangerous sport. For one thing, snowmobiles don't float. A man from Montana drowned this summer when he went down with his machine.
Ask Martin Tremblay about the risks. 2 weeks ago, he crashed into another snowmobile during a drag race. He passed out cold, suffered a fractured leg, cuts to his face. There's risk in every sport, and in this one, the machines are getting faster and faster, he says, up to 130 kilometers an hour. In most areas of North America, boat safety regulations don't even apply. Robert Gingras says his parents can't bear to watch him race. They're not the only ones. The state of Nebraska has banned the sport outright, and other American states are considering doing the same. But so far, there's little interest among Canadian authorities to start regulating snowmobiles on water. Amanda Pfeffer, CBC News, Victoriaville, Quebec.
From August 2001, the art, or is that sport, of snowmobile skipping. And that's it for this week's Rewind podcast. If you'd like to hear more great material from the archives, tune in to Rewind, the radio program, that is. We air Thursday afternoons at 2 p.m. on CBC Radio 1. And on Sirius Satellite Radio 137, you can hear us almost every day, Monday through Friday, at 2 p.m., and again at 5 a.m., and Sundays at 8 p.m., and again at 1 a.m. I'm Michael Enright, and I'll be back next week with a new episode of Rewind.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.